So last week we began the Simen Sari Dal, the Simen of kitchen mix-ups, of kitchen fumbles. And now we turn our attention to Sif Beis, the Sif of the double dip. Last week we had begun to see Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch lays out the core Yesodos, to begin to think about what are the factors you're going to, variables you're going to ask about. The Rama already said one key issue is you have to figure out if we're dealing with a Ben Yomo. If it's ain't a Ben Yomo, we'll get to that in the Siddal. Okay. If it's a Ben Yomo, then we have if the ladle, the milchik ladle you're sticking into the fleishik soup, to the meatballs and sauce, is a Ben Yomo. And Ben Yomo means Ben Yomo of a Kli Rishon on both sides. It became milchik through a Kli Rishon last 24 hours, and now you're sticking into Kli Rishon. So then, if those two pieces are in place, the Kli is a Ben Yomo, and the heat that we're talking about, past and present, are Kli Rishon heat, then we have a serious issue. At that point, the primary focus of Sif Aleph, we discussed last time, was if you have an issue, so then we have to think about Bitul B'Shisha. How much... How voluminous are the meatballs and sauce and flavored pot versus the volume of the ladle? And then we got into some of the details of exactly how your Mishai or Shishim is. So based on the Gemara and Chulin, that we arrive at, that we showed him, Lamaisa, we do say Misharin Bekule. In theory, we should be saying just, well, the metal or plastic of the ladle is not in of itself, or the wood, whatever it is not in of itself milchik. It's just wood or plastic or metal. Just that it absorbs milchik flavor. So in theory, if we could figure out how much milchik flavor is inside, we just move out of that. And obviously, the amount of milchik flavor is vanishingly small compared to the volume of the ladle itself. But the vast majority, Rishonim assume, we don't have a way to calculate that, so unless you can, in situations you actually can calculate it, we know how much, this is only used once the last 24 hours for very small amounts of milchik. Okay, so that's the max amount of milchik coming out. But normally we don't know, it's normally used for a lot of milchik, so we don't know how much milchik is used for. So as a rule of thumb, we say, well, the max amount of milchik that could be coming out of the ladle is the volume of the entire ladle. Obviously it's less than that. So much less than that. So we just, as a rule of thumb, we say Masharim connected the whole thing. Then we got into some more of the details. How about if it's metal? Then figure out how much was even stuck in, or we're not sure how much was stuck in. If it's metal, do we say Chamuk Tzavsel Chamkul? The entire metal is all mitzvah. Okay, so those are some of the details. Once we're dealing with a Ben Yomo, and we're dealing with heat of a Kli Rishon, so then we have to begin to think about how are we going to figure out Shishim. How much of the ladle do we calculate? We figure out how much ladle we're calculating, that chunk, the entire ladle, part of the ladle, whatever was submerged or may have been submerged in the fluid, and we figure out the volume of that piece of the ladle, and we need 60 times as much of meatballs and gravy and fleishik pot as we have of the milchik chunk of ladle. If you have shishim, so then you say batul shishim, and the meatballs are fine, the pot's fine, and nothing became milchik, nothing became trip. So the Sivez is interesting, is based on a comment of the Smak. And it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch presents one opinion, the Ramah presents a different opinion. If you look in the Beis Yosef, he doesn't present these two opinions together. It's sort of like they're separated by a page. It's interesting. Here the question is double dipping. So I figured out however I figure out over the course of Sif Aleph what constitutes how much of the ladle I need. I'm going to consider it to be the milchik volume. I need shishim against that. How if I dipped it in twice? Talk about kafik der shtei pa'amim. He didn't use ladle just once. I took soup for myself and I took soup for my wife. I took soup for one kid, soup for another kid, whatever. I have guests. So I stick a ladle in several times. So I stick a ladle in twice. Look, if I would poured in a spoonful of milk, so I would say, okay, you need shishim against the milk. That's pouring out the spoonful of milk, you need shishim against that too, presumably. Chora? Do you? Don't you? L'chor you do. That's the sugi of kama, kama, bata.
I'm the biggest one.
That's the discussion we showed him have. The gra on the page points to it, others point to it. Do you say every little bit, kama, kama, the first, either kima, kima, bit by bit, or kama, kama, rishon, rishon, is bata, and then it disappears? They say, no, it's still there, it just became bata, but as you add more solvent, you add more milk, you pour in milk by the spoonful, but eventually you pour in 1,000 spoonfuls, isn't it? I'll be pashtus, say, look, it's not, to be choser v'neir, it's going to wake up again. As I pour more milk, eventually the sum total of all the milk poured in, even if it's poured in bit by bit, you no longer have shishim in the fleishiks against all this milk, so it's going to be an issue.
Doesn't work the other way. This is that
Yaakov gave him extra. Yeah, yeah, above. You would normally say, look, if you pour in milk, pour more milk, pour more milk. I'm going to probably need shishim again. I pour in 3 spoonfuls of milk. So then it's no longer, when I pour in the first teaspoonful of milk, but all I need to say is, are there 60 teaspoons of fleishiks? If I'm pouring 3 teaspoons of milk, so I presume I need 180, not just 60. I need to every time, well, I have 60 teaspoons of fleishiks. Yeah, so what's going on here? Talk of a kaf, the kedeir shnei pa'amim.
It was empty, meaning it was empty.
The lo noda bein tayim. And I didn't know in between. Interesting. You didn't notice in between that you used the milchik ladle once in the fleishik soup. You didn't notice, oh, that's milchik. Oh, we have bittel. No. You didn't notice. You did it again. Sarach shnei pa'avim shishim. You need to have 120 instead of just 60. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, no. Yeshom disage pa'amachas shishim. Others say, here he's quoting the Truma Sadeshin, disagrees with the smack. The Shulchan Aruch was machra like the smack. The Ramah is make like the Truma Sadeshin. He's stuck in the ladle multiple times. You just need shishim once. And remember, it's not just a question of twice. Let's say you were ladling out soup for 10, you have 10 people at the table. So you stuck the ladle in 10 times, 20 times maybe, if you give each bowl 2 ladles full of soup. So it's a world of difference between shishim versus 20 times shishim. Shishim, as Sam pointed last time, probably have shishim. But 20 times, I put ladle in 20 times, and I could follow them using milchik ladle. So this is an enormous difference. Amos says,
less soup each time.
That's also a good point. That's actually very significant.
So even if do we account for the last time we dip it in?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that's
the bottom of the pot, and so now you don't even have.
Yeah, so Dr. Berv is making a good point. Shulchan Aruch speaks about twice, maybe because if you keep ladling, eventually you're not going to have shishim. Anyways, forget what happened before. Just the last time you stick a ladle in, you need shishim again. So by that time, most of your soup is gone. You're not going to have. Okay, that's a good point.
Is it possible that the Mekilim look at it as if all of what was absorbed into the, let's see, one of the glios somehow was all released in the first time, and therefore.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the Beis Yosef does quote some discussion about that. Beis Yosef does quote the smack. That's really going to come up more in Sif Gimel. Let's say you have shishim. Going back to Sif Alf, you stuck with it. Let me talk have shishim. So then the Beis Yosef quotes to the smack in the section in the Sif Gimel section. So was that? Did I kasher the ladle? Now ladle should be fleishik. Not treif.
Why not?
It's fleishik.
Why is it not treif?
Because it says you kashered it. You stuck it into 60 times as much liquid. You put it into a boiling pot of chicken soup. So you just kashered your milchik ladle in chicken soup. And now it's fleishik and not milchik. Whatever milchik bleas came out of chicken soup, bottle of shishim. And now it's not milchik, and now it's fleishik.
Do we ever say that you can take a milchik of four and make it fleishik?
Well, we don't generally recommend it. It's a bad idea. But strictly speaking, if you kasher a milchik fork and then use it for fleishik, it's fleishik and not treif. So the, yeah.
I was just a little confused about the relevance of kama
but
here.
Oh, okay. So let's go step by step. In terms of that point of the kashering ladle, so the smak, the basically does cause the smak. And he says, He says there are a host of reasons why this doesn't work. Number one, the simplest one is for kashrin you require 212, mala resicha. The water has to actually be boiling. But to make treif, you just need yasal esbo. Just because it's hot enough to make treif doesn't mean it's hot enough to make kasher. Number two, kashrin is when you submerge the whole thing and it's all, you kasher the whole kli. In theory, you could kasher half a kli. Sometimes when we kasher, we do a kli piece by piece. That's unlike tevilas kalim, which is a metaphysical process. It has to be done all at once. Kashering is a physical process. You can do piece by piece, but like I said, it's not going to be very helpful if you don't finish the job. So to make treif is enough that you stuck in part of the milchig leil. To make kasher, you need to stick in the whole thing. And then finally, he says, or this is actually the first point that he makes of the three points. He says you really, this is asi lamiti. Even if you taka, you stuck in the whole thing. This is asking for trouble to say, yeah, now it's kashered. Every once in a long while, you're going to taka and stick in a milchig leil and chicken soup in a way that really kashers it. With a mala resicha and with sticking it the whole way, even if we did that, we would want to avoid the confusion. So we say, just kasher it. Boil hot water and just kasher it normally. Plus, he doesn't mention, which may be significant, some Rishonim are of the opinion that kasher has to be done specifically with water. You mentioned in the past, it's an issue with oil. Can you kasher with oil? Sometimes you have equipment that you want it to remain water-free. It would be helpful to do oil. In fact, oil actually gets higher than water. So if anything, you would think it would be a better kasher medium. But there are Rishonim who assume the kasher has to be with water. Now, again, the Smak did not mention that, but that's, again, neither here nor there, because he might be talking about a water-based food. Okay. Be that as it may, but that's why you don't succeed in kashering your kli when you stick it in. Now, so let's try to understand this machlokas. You put it in twice, again, as I said, and we'll come back to your point in a second. Michael. So again, when learning Beis Yosef, it's curious, I don't know why. Beis Yosef in the Sif Beis section, again, these Sifim were added by the 20th century printer. The Sif numbers are only developed initially by the Rav Yosef Kari in the Shulchan Aruch. Did not appear in the Torah of Beis Yosef. But just by way of knowing where we are, it's interesting, initially, the Torah quotes the Smak. The Torah says, what Shulchan Aruch says, you do need, you dip it in twice, you need double shishim, you need 120. So the Beis Yosef says this is a Smak, and he gets to some of the discussion, which we'll get to momentarily. And then later on in the Sif Gimel section, he quotes a Trumas Hadashen, and the Trumas Hadashen disagreed with us. It's sort of interesting the way the Beis Yosef, I'm not sure why, Beis Yosef.
I don't understand why you would need double
shishim. Yeah, why would you need double shishim? So, on the one hand, on the other hand. So number one, the...
The first time it's part of it becomes part of the entire thing.
Right.
There's no tar.
Now, if you would have put in, here we come back to the common kabbalah. Okay. If instead of putting in a ladle, you had poured in a spoon of milk, then you poured another spoon of milk. So if you hold that, if you don't say kama kama batla or kima kima batla, you say, look, it's not enough to have 60 spoonfuls of soup here. I need 120 spoonfuls of soup because I poured in, it's in separate events, but lamaisa, I poured in a full 2 teaspoons of milk. I need to have 60 times as much, 120 teaspoons of soup.
So the first time you put in the teaspoon of thing, it's not, let's say it's 61:1. Okay. The second time you put the second teaspoon of milk in there, so then it's 61:2. So I don't know if that means the same thing as being
61:2 is not shishim. Not all shishim.
I'm sorry, I'm the other way around.
No, that's the point. In other words, shishim, 60 spoons of soup is perfectly good to devatel one spoon of milk. It's obviously...
But yeah, it's not enough. Thought,
not nearly enough for two spoons.
Right, so that says, what do you need two?
I thought the Shah tries to explain it by that the first time you put it in, you're creating, you have the milk and spoon in the placing pot, so you're creating the basar rechov, and then the spoon became basar rechov, and then when you're adding the second spoon, you're adding a separate, it's a whole separate iser going forward, because the first one was creating the iser, and the second one has
right,
the iser.
Right. And that's the question,
and
whether you have...
But
that's a Hanan problem.
But based, right, the Hanan problem, but then based on that, why does knowing between make a difference?
Yeah, so that's the key piece I want to come back to. There's no debate in time, right? The machmir, the tour in the Shulchan Aruch, ultimately rooted in this smack. See, he says, well, it's you're going to need double shishim if there was no yediyah in between. If there was no yediyah in between. And that's really the Achilles heel of the smack. It really drives why the Trumas Hadesh and the Ramah disagree. What's with the idea? Right? We're differentiating between which two cases. We're saying even the Shulchan Aruch, the Smach, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, or Machmer say you need double Shishim. That's only if you use the ladle twice and only afterwards notice it was Milchik. If you notice it was Milchik in between, you notice it was Milchik in between, so then you don't. What's that all about?
Before we get into the idea, I'm just confused. This isn't the same as a drop and then adding another drop, because all the bittles against the
good. We're coming to that moment, right? So Michael's pointing out this is not the same as two separate spoonfuls of milk, because I'm putting the same ladle in again and again. It's the same,
it's
sample
like
of milk,
a drop of milk, taking
taking
it back
out and putting it back in again. Right. This is not the same. Right. This is not the same. Even if you hold common bottle, you can say that the two spoonfuls of milk require 120 spoons of soup, but still hold like the Ramah. Because exactly, and this is but that's actually where the idea comes in. The Beis Yosef explains that there is an idea, and he gives a little bit of further explanation. He says there is an idea when we talk about fruits falling to each other, truma fruits, not truma fruits, or arla kalayim, and so forth. He points to a Mishnah in the fifth paragraph of Masechas Trumos. You have Truma fruit is usually bottle. It's a ratio of 1 to 60, 1 to 100. The din of Truma. You need 100? You need it's bottle of Meya. So let's say you have one Truma apple falls into 100 Chulin apples. Right? Bottle. Then another apple falls in. So the Mishnah says, or the Mishnah seems to say it depends whether you noticed or not. That may be what the Mishnah is saying. If you noticed, then it already became batal. If you didn't notice, it didn't become batal. He says, Yedias ha-taruvus. The taruvus only becomes batal. The bittel only kicks in once you know. Once you notice that there's a problem, you realize that there's a taruvus. And if there's enough of a ratio, a healthy enough ratio to allow for bittel, that's when bittel occurs. And it doesn't occur up until then. So that's what seems to be driving, that's how the Beis Yosef understands. What's driving this smak is that bittel only occurs once you have yediyas hataruvus. So if you had yediyas hataruvus, and then even the smak, the tour, and the Shulchan Aruch will agree. Yeah, you notice you use the ladle once. God, what do I do? It's a milchik ladle. Okay, but we have shishim, okay, we're good. And then I put the ladle aside, and I did it again. I'm jet lagged, I'm so tired. I just noticed 5 minutes ago that I used the milchik ladle, and then I repeat the same mistake. So then, Beis Yosef says, look, that's what the smach of the Torah is saying. If there was Yedias HaTaruvus, then it was batal. If you had Yedias HaTaruvus, then it was batal. So that's interesting. So that speaks to Michael's point. This isn't exactly like the milk, because it's really more of a formality. There's no more, whatever milk was in the ladle the first time, whatever milk was in the ladle the second time, could have been bottled the first time. In other words, and that goes back sort of to the point that David made before. And in theory, you should have said that they got kosher the first time. There should be no problem. It should be mutter to put it in the second time. I mean, you put it in, all the flavor, milchik flavor goes out, and it's cleaned out. Now it's a fleishik ladle, it's not a milchik ladle. And in theory, it should be totally fine the second time. Elamai what? Well, we're not sure that the Haggala really worked, because you might not have done it in a way that does a full extraction. Maybe it wasn't 212. Maybe it wasn't fully submerged. So what are you saying? I don't really know that all of, and again, going back to Sefalov, we're always looking for the top line. We're not sure how much milchus is coming out of this ladle, so let's imagine worst case scenario, the maximum amount of milchus is coming out, right? And even that maximum is still about the bashishim, because this is a big pot of soup and it's a skinny little ladle. So what are you worried about? Why are you worried the second time? Because maybe some milchik stayed behind and come out the first time. So right there.
But you're still not going to have more than maximum.
Oh. Right, so that's why, as Michael's pointed out, it's not really the same.
The comparison to truma is also not
Oh.
You still have to take out the 101st apple and give it to the kohen.
That is true. But that's probably didn't drop on.
She's in the backup. Bela was the way the Gemara said. She's in the backup. So if you had a guy chef there and never tasted, what's the difference?
What's
the difference? 1, 2, 3, 7 times.
Good. That's a very, very, very sharp point. Because we had said last time, Rishonim said, Rajba had said, really could use kefil. If you don't have a kefil, then you can use even here. If you don't have a kefil, if you suck the ladle in the pot to have a nachri taste it, you're fine. So you're saying, stick the ladle in 5 times, it's not going to change the taste. Maybe it will, a little bit, maybe a little more flavor comes out. But if it's shishim, so then it would have passed the kefil test no matter how many times you put it in. Right, so we're going to come back to that in a moment. Because that's going to point to, the Achilles heel here. See, the smak that said, quoted by the Torah of Shulchan Aruch, that this chumrah is if it's lo noda. So what's lo noda? So basically it says, look, we have a din, we have in Mesechus Trumos, of Yediyah Satarovah. So the bittul only happens once you notice it. Now the problem is that Beis Yosef doesn't, at the very end, he has one line about, he makes a reference, not even like it's not a sentence. He says, this is a din of Yavish B'Yavish. He mentions something about Yavish B'Yavish. Now, that's a key point, and that's going to speak to what Eric has mentioned. There are, we've mentioned in the past, there are two different types of Taruvas, Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach. And really, what the core question here is many of you are pointing out, why did these taruvas matter? Why should these taruvas matter? So the answer is like this. There are two different types of taruvas. Lach b'lach yavish yavish. What's the difference? Well, literally means wet and wet and dry and dry. But it doesn't really have to do with whether things are wet or dry. Bottles of wine that get mixed together, or bottles of soda that get mixed together, sealed, that's yavish b'yavish. While powders, spice powders, or different flours, they get flours, O-U, not O-W-E, different bottles of different bags of kemach that get mixed together, that's considered to be lach b'lach. What lach b'lach and yavish yavish mean is not literally whether it's wet or dry, but is there an intermingling of the items, or are they just discrete items? So if I usually, interminglings happen when I have water or grease or something, this flavor is being transferred, or either through blia or just, I mixed liquids together, and then everything gets mixed together, and it's all one, all the flavors are intermingled. Or again, if you have powders, different spice powders or different flour powders, they get mixed together, everything's intermingled. They're dry, but it's a lach b'lach. Right? Whereas yavesh b'yavesh is where the things remain discrete. I have 5 apples, I have 10 bottles of soda, I don't know which is which, I don't know what's what, I have packages of meat, cuts of meat, so I don't know what's what. So that's a taruvus of yavesh b'yavesh. They're not intermingled into single mass, they're separate items, but I've lost track of who's who and what's what. There are differences between lach b'lach and yavesh b'yavesh. The need for shishim is much more pronounced by lach b'lach than by a yavesh b'yavesh. If you have yavesh b'yavesh, where all the things have the same flavor, a couple of bottles of soda, some are treif, some are kosher, a couple of pieces of meat, some are treif, some are kosher, you don't need shishim. It's yavish b'yavish, all the same flavor. It's a bitl barov is enough. Even if they have different flavors, like you can imagine that, minat Torah, chad b'treif, simple bitl barov is enough. I have 3 bottles of kosher soda and 2 bottles of treif soda. I have 3 packages of kosher meat and 2 packages of treif meat. Bottle. Take one and eat. Take one and drink. No problem. The real need for shishim, so Torah is only about lach b'lach, because why? Really, rov is bottle. The reason why you need shishim is because of tam kicker. Because I worry about flavor. Flavor is only an issue If it's lach balach, the items are getting mingled. If I have separate bottles of soda, I have separate pieces of meat, they're not sharing flavors with one another. Each one tastes like itself. So in principle, yavish b'yavish always needs simple rove. Midrabanan, sometimes we require shishim midrabanan. But often even midrabanan, all we need is rove. So again, these are really different. They're both tarovos, so the things that you have things getting mixed together. But they're very different. And not just in terms of the shishim. They're very different in the following sense. They're fundamentally different. Yavish b'yavish is a suffix. Yavish b'yavish means I have pieces of meat and their labels got ripped off. A bunch of trays of chopped meat. And most of them are kosher. One was trayf to feed the cat. And then all labels got pulled off. And now I have seven trays of chopped meat. One of them is trayf. And the other six are kosher. I have no idea what's what. Right? So it's a suffix. Any one tray, I say, maybe this is kosher. Maybe this is trayf. I don't know. I don't know if this came from the kosher butcher or the trayf butcher. I don't know if this is meant for human consumption, or this is meant for cat consumption, feline consumption. So it's a suffix. Lach balach is, there's no suffix. Right? If I pour milk into the cholent, that's lach balach. There's no suffix. I know exactly what I'm dealing with. I have a homogeneous mixture of fleshiks and milchiks. If there's enough milchik to give flavor, then it's treif. If there's so little milchik that it doesn't give flavor, then it's kosher. But it's not, there's no suffix, there's no lack of knowledge by lach balach. I know exactly what I have. What I have is a mixture. What I have is a chalent. What I have is a solution in the chemical sense. I have things blended together, right? By yavish, I have a suffix. So that's what Shechter quotes in the Rav, I think was based on earlier achronim, and that the Yosef might be saying that here also. See, the smach is saying, now we come back with that understanding of lach lach yavish. Let's think about the smach. The idea of yudias hataruvos, who cares? What is this, quantum mechanics? Like if you didn't notice it didn't happen? Why does it matter whether the tarovos was observed or unobserved? It was nesarev. So Yud's idea of tarovos is really critical, but yavish b'yavish. Because yavish b'yavish, all there is it's all about yidia. Mashal Shechter gives is you can have a taruvus yavish b'yavish where the things are thousands of miles away from each other. Let's say I have one crate of meat in a warehouse in New York City. I have another crate of meat in Argentina. I have a third crate of meat in Eretz Israel. And I know that two of those crates were kosher and one is treif. Yeah? And they each had a labels on them. Right? Originally they were in one place, they all got shipped to wherever it was. They all got shipped, I end up with three crates of meat in three different places. I know that two of them are kosher and one is treif. And then the labels get ripped off. I had a log that tracked where all the packages of meat were sent to. And if I could have used that log to figure out which, and that log gets destroyed. So now I don't know. The three crates of meat are thousands of miles from each other. They're separate. There are three different continents. It's still a taruvus yavish b'yavish. Because there's three packs, three crates of meat. Two are kasha, one is treif. I don't know which is which. That's a very sharp demonstration of the fact that unlike lach balach, yavish b'yavish has nothing to do with any physical interaction between the Isser and the Heter. Lach balach is all about the physical interaction. Lach balach is that they're blended together. Yavish yavish, it's the only thing that binds them together is what? Is the suffix. It's the fact that I don't know which is which. So the idea of ideas hatarovis is that you need to know that you don't know. It's not really a taruvis until you have a latest hasafik. Until you recognize, it's a little bit of a chiddush, but a very understandable chiddush, that the fact that sort of subconsciously, latently, I've already forgotten which is which, you could have said that makes a taruvus. You could also say the taruvus only becomes a taruvus once you notice that you don't know. When you realize, hey, we don't know which crate is which. And you wake up, well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Gaval, 1 second. Which crate went to which place? Which is which? And you go look for the logbook, and we see that it was destroyed. It got waterlogged. We can't read it. The moment you notice I don't have the information, that's when you have a yavish v'yavish. That's what the Rishonim are drawing, again, with a little bit of difficulty, but drawing from that Mishnah and Trumas. So the Beis Yosef doesn't make a big deal about it. He just says that, well, a din of Yavish Yavish is in Kuftas, ta-da-da-da-da-da. But the truth is, that may be what's driving the Trumas Hadeshin's rejection of this, of the smock. He says, what does Yisrael Terumas have to do with Lach Balach? Lach Balach is a Metzias. It's a physical, it's not a question of epistemological, I don't know. Lach Balach is a physical reality. Whether you know or not, milk fell into the chalm. That's a reality. That's a tarus, lach balach. Al pi pashtus, lach balach can become batel with or without me. Again, and this comes back to Eric's point. Fundamentally, this really should be governed by kfela. And that's what we had seen the Rajba last week on the sukkah. What was it on Tzadi Zayin of Beitz, right? That even here we talk about shishim, but really, if you had a kfeila, just taste it. If you can't have no kfeila to taste it, you have to do shishim. But tochiv kachlas b'der shalbazer, if you have a kfeila, the kfeila taste it. Again, which means it's all about the mitzias of the blending of milchus and fleishiks. So the yedias hatarovas seems very, very odd indeed. And that's presumably what's driving Truman's Adeshin. Truman's Adeshin says, he quotes Truman's Adeshin. The Beis Yosef quotes Truman's Adeshin, next page, he says, I've never seen it. That's his primary push is I've done Shemesh by Elder Poskim, Rabbanim Kashishi, the Elder Rabbanim. No one ever asks. No one ever asks how many times you dip the ladle into the pot. Because I think even if they did find out that it was two times, they still wouldn't care. So then that's why it says that. So then the Truman Sadesh goes on to bring Rias. But the piece of Beis Yosef quotes is just that is a din. So Pataka, what's the pshat? Well, why do we reject it? The answer is because Yedias Hataruvus. This is a lach balach. What does Yedias Hataruvus have to do with anything? Pataka, what is the pshat? So how do you understand the smack? Who does have this sort of funny in-between position. So I'll be pashtus is because this goes back to what Michael said. It's not really like pouring milk in and pouring more milk in. It really is the same package of milk. I have a container of milk called a ladle that's nifla, that has bleus of milk in it, and I put it in, I take it out, put it in again. So that's why it sounds like the smock is sort of like an in-between. You are worried about flavor. But on the other hand, you're not really putting in more milchiks. But we're not sure Amish came out the first time. So it seems like the smock somehow understood. It's sort of like a cross, like a hybrid between lach balach and yavish yavish. You are about flavor, but it's not quite like putting in more milk. You're putting the same milk again. So that's like a little bit yavish b'yavish ish. So if he says, well, there will be bittel, but only if you have yedias hatarovas. Because it really ought to be bittul, because it's really all the same milk. It's the same milk twice. So if you have left it in, if everything would come out the first thing, it would be fine. So what? Well, my son of it came out. Some of it stayed by. Good. So then more came out the second time. Vaiter could have all been bittul the first time. It's not really kama bittul. That's not really the issue. So that's why it sounds like the smock's thought. So it's like a little bit like a yavish yavish situation. If you have yedias hatarovus, then it'll be mutter. If you have yedias hatarovus, But Lamaisa, it's a difficult svara. You want to give it a formality of Yavish Yavish, but Lamaisa, you could rely on, what's it called?
Isn't there a fundamental difference?
Well, Lamaisa, you should be able to rely on Bittel. You could rely on Kvela, you can certainly rely on one Shishim against Aleil, no matter how many times Nizchav. So that's why Lamaisa, Ashkenazim Paskin, go back to Shulchan Aruch, that Ramah says that Ashkenazim Paskin, this is fine. Like Truman Sedeshin said, the minig of the Rabbanim he got Shemesh with, who were obviously Ashkenazi Rabbanim. The translation says the Rabbanim in Germany, they didn't ask if there were two. If you, it wasn't just a don't ask, don't tell. Even if you told them that at least dipped in the ladle five times, they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. We understand why. Again, that was what Eric said. Lamaisa, it's all about Tom. The Smak had said that because it's the same milk we've been presented in the Kli multiple times, it sounds like we're like a treated ki'ilu, it's a yavish b'yavish. Yedias hatarovus, no yedias hatarovus. But the Ashkenazim don't accept that. Ashkenazim don't accept that.
Isn't there a fundamental difference between lach b'lach and yavish b'yavish? If you assume you have one piece of tray of meat that falls into a pot, not necessarily even anything harder being cooked of 60 pieces of kosher meat. So we say that it could be bottled, but you can't eat all 61 pieces.
I'll be pashtus. Yeah, that's a discussion. Rash Barash, that's quoted at the beginning of Hilchos Taruvos.
Yeah, so if you have a cup of let's say trefa sauce or whatever it is that falls into a pot of 60 cups of thing, you can eat the entire thing.
Oh, so that's a very good point. Right, perhaps the difference between lach balach and yavish b'yavish, by lach balach, if it's bottle, talk a bottle. You can eat the whole thing. You're anyways eating the thing. Any one spoonful, it's a homogeneous mixture. You're right. So, but there is, as I said, there is a machlokas Rosh and Rashba. How does that work? You have a chad betray bottle, three pieces of meat, one is tray for two or kasher. So I can eat one piece, I can eat all three pieces. The same person can eat all three pieces at the same time, not same time. Now, that's a debate between the Rashba and the Rosh. And it's a debate that has other nafkaminas also. They seem to be arguing fundamentally about the point that you're making. How fundamentally different is lach balach, is yavish yavish from lach balach? The Rosh seems to say, yavish yavish, atake is iser nepach lios heter. Once you have the bitl chad betray, ki'ilu it became kasher, which is very similar to lach balach. And the Rosh says, no, ki'ilu became kasher. Right now, there are three pieces of meat, one of them is treif. Nor of us, I don't know which one it is. So I'll be mekel based on the rov. But avada, see, the Rosh says, to eat all three pieces, chas v'shalom, then you're definitely eating tarfus. No, first, I can pick any one. And maybe you can pick one. And maybe he can pick one even. Maybe. And why? Because for any one of us, it's, it's a 67% odds that we're not eating treif. But I'm going to eat all three of them. Chas v'shalom. So that again goes, I mean, it's oversimplifying and dramatizing a bit. But again, the machlokes Rosh and Rashba is really, does Yavish Yavish also make it Nepach Liyos Heter? Or no, Yavish Yavish is fundamentally different from Lach Balach. So that's machlokes Rosh and Rashba. But you're right. That does capture. And again, it also speaks to this idea, Taruva's idea. In other words, the Rashba's approach is understandable given that it's a fundamentally different type of bittel. It's not a bittel of blend. That now I have a mass, so I have to decide, is this mass treif, is this mass kasher? It's almost like Rubu Kukulo, I have to decide what's the status of the unit. That's lach balach. Yosh Yavi is just a question of suffix. Suffix. So, the Raja says, it's a suffix. So any one piece, I could pass against a suffix. But it remains. Every one piece retains its identity. We just don't know what it is. So I have the right to assume Taurus has fake as issue. It's not nepach.
How does
min b'mino, min b'she'eno,
min b'she'eno,
min
b'she'eno, min b'she'eno is not bottle at all?
Well, the term min b'mino is used in two different ways, and they have opposite ramifications. There's one type of, one sense of min b'mino, which according to some tanoim makes things worse and less likely to be bottle. There's a different type of min b'mino, which makes things more likely to be bottle. There is a sheet of the Tanur of Yehuda, which we all Pasha do not accept. There is some discussion in Rishonim how we should paskin. Were there any Rishonim paskin like Yehuda? But all Pasha, we do not paskin like Yehuda. Yehuda had a rule, min b'mino lo batel. A rule that min b'mino is not batel. So if I have apples and apples, apples to apples, so there's never a bittel. And it has to do with formally what min is this? What's the category? The Ran and the Dharm explains the idea of min lo batel is the whole idea of bittel is predicated on the conflict. I have a clash between the davar mutter and davar aser. So if I have rov heter and miyad iser, so then the miyad loses its identity in the mass of the rov. The Rambam has language like that. And miyad neved ba'otzim yuto. So the iser neved ba'otzim yuto. So the Ran says, This clash of identities only works if the identities are really different. So if they're all the same thing, so if I have milk that falls into meat, so they're mamish different things. Not only kosher treif, mamish different things. It's kosher, it becomes treif. Okay. But milk and meat, they're two different things. So if I drop of milk, a big pot of meat, So it's batel, because it loses identity to the other thing. Or echves, I have chaylev falls into kashrim. So there's different things. But the Ron said, according to Yehuda, if it's meat and meat, that one is kashrim, one is treif, so there's not enough of a contrast, not enough of a clash. They have different halachic statuses, but physically they're the same thing. So they're not different enough to ignite the type of clash that will rout the meat. That's the lumdus of Yehuda. We don't accept that. The Ron goes on to say maybe we accept a twist on that. That's davashesh. This is the Ron about davashesh matir. Okay. Al pidin, if one usher versus we, because Ron says we don't accept Yehuda because we say we don't care so much about the physical status, just care halachic status. One is this is usher and that's mutter and that's a clash. And that's what the Ron says. Davashesh matir is something which is usher but is going to become mutter. The reason why it's not batel, he says, is because it's not so different from the heter. It's not fully usher, it's a little bit usher, temporarily usher. So it's not enough of a contrast. He says, that's like min b'mina. We accept it, Yehuda Svara, min b'mina labato, we just don't apply it to physical categories. We care about being different in halachic status. Okay. Al-Kopanim, that's the Shita of Yehuda, it shows up many places in Shas. For example, it comes up even in not just the kind of Isra Heter, and Karbanos. You know, blood of different Karbanos got mixed together. So Yehuda says you can't really say, generally, you're not going to be able to say Bittol because it's all blood. Even though they have different statuses, it's Dam Chatzis and that's Dam Masham, whatever it is. But it's blood and blood. He says that it's not enough that they're halakhically different, they have to be physically different in order to be Bittol. That's the Shita of Yehuda. We, Alpi Pashas, as I said before, Alpi Pashas, we do not accept the Yehuda. Halakhmites, we certainly don't. Maybe there was some Rishon Pasuk Yehuda, maybe not. Okay. What we do accept is a different type of min b'mino. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about formally, what is the, how would you name this? Is this blood? Is this meat? Is this milk? So we hold that's irrelevant. But what is relevant is the following. Treifa beef, a little bit of treifa beef gravy falls into broccoli. Yeah? So you need to have bittul shishim. Alpi pashas min haTorah. The whole time kikas min haTorah. You need shishim min haTorah. Why? Because the meat can give flavor to the broccoli. Treif a meat flavor in the up until this point kosher broccoli is enough beef flavor that's tasted. You can taste the beef and the broccoli. The tam kikar, it's a problem. So you need to have bittul, either kfela or el shishim. Oh! But let's say you have treif a beef falls into kosher beef. Do you need shishim there?
That's min b'mina.
Right. That's not from the perspective of Yehuda that's officially the same label, but practically it's the same flavor. So if it's all the same flavor, the need for shishim is only drabanan. Min haTorah, if tray from meat falls into kashrut, but they all taste the same. So min haTorah should be batel chad betray, batel barov. 51% is this batel. Well, there's no kefela could ever tell the difference. It all tastes like beef. The kefela can tell this was from a shchuta, that was from a nevela. Of course not. There's no nesinas tam. So the need for min haTorah, if it min b'mino in the sense of the same flavor, it's batel barov. Midrabana, they said you need shishim. Then by Yavesh Yavesh, they said midrabana you need shishim if it's min b'shein omina. If it's min b'mino, which is what usually is by Yavesh Yavesh, then there's no need for shishim even midrabana. Okay, to coming attractions. I think the hour's already late. Seif Gimel and Seif Dal, just to survey what's coming up. So if Gimel is going to raise the issue of what happens if Itaka was batel b'shishim. So Itaka was batel b'shishim. Yeah, Sif Al and Beis together were figuring out, is there batel b'shishim? Sif Al was a focus on how are you Mashiach? Sif, how much of the ladle are you looking at? Sif Beis was focused on how much do you need, again, if it was dipped multiply, do you need how many times shishim? But now that we've figured that out, so now we're going to looking forward, the question would be, what happens when it is batel b'shishim? Or what happens otherwise? Sif Gimel is going to look at if there's no bittul b'shishim, everything's treif. There is bittul b'shishim, so then what happens to the ladle? And then Sif Dal is going to talk about how about if the ladle is not ben yomo? What happens to the ladle? And then beyond Sifim Gimel and Dalet, Emir Tashem, next time we'll be able to see Sifim Gimel and Dalet together, I hope, we never. And then beyond that, most of the rest of the Simen, Masif Hay and on, is largely really going to be sort of coming at Simen Sadi Hay from a different angle. Really going to be, but not. And then we should, after Billy Netta, get pretty quickly to the final two Sifim, Simen Sadi Vav, which is about Davar Charif and knives, and Simen Sadi Zayin, which is about Milchik bread and Flachik bread, those Dinim Drabanan.